Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser, set it off.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for another episode. And this time, my guest is Mr. Olympia Jerry Stubbs. We talk about Mid-South, Continental, Japan, and much more. That is coming up soon. Now, I know that I announced and I was going to have Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker on this week, but we had some technical issues when we tried to record that interview, so we had to reschedule. I'd like to give a couple plugs for some upcoming wrestling figures. First is a figure from my old buddy Mance Warner. It is available now for pre-order from Figure Collections. Go to shop.figurecollections.com. I've pre-ordered mine, and you should pre-order yours also. Also, go check out the figures from KWK Brand. They have a very cool Ox Baker figure coming in the future that I am dying to get. So watch my social media, and I will share more info on that when it is available to pre-order. But go check them out and some of the other figures they have. They've got a lot of cool names. All right, let's take a break. And when I come back, we will have my interview with Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs. So stick around.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Filsinger Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real-life stars or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit FilsingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilsingerGames.com to order now. If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number 2, and Screams. Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
And welcome back to Wrestling Nostalgia. This time I'm being joined by Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs. Jerry, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Little sinus problem, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good to be 73.
Yeah, it's that time of year, and my sinuses have been out of whack too. So that time of year.
Yeah, but, it is.
We got a lot of pollen over here.
Yeah, us too. I live in North Carolina, and we got a ton of it. It, like, coats the cars and stuff.
Oh, yeah, so. Yeah. Turns them yellow, green.
Yeah.
And I got a black car, too, see, so.
Yeah, Well, listen, I would talk, before we get into the wrestling, I was curious, because I saw that before wrestling, you were a baseball player.
I played with Pittsburgh in the rookie league, in the A-ball, and some in the double-A ball.
That's crazy. I'm a huge baseball fan, and that always amazes me. What happened there? Just kind of.
Well, when I was playing back then, they had that first baseball strike they ever had.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was involved in that. I was there at that time, and they were letting a lot of the newer players go because they couldn't pay them because it was a strike and all this. So
yeah,
they had, and I was one of them. They let go, and then they wanted me to come back after it started back up, but I was doing something else, and I just wasn't interested to go.
Yeah, that's funny.
I might have, should have, could have, you know. But
yeah, I'll never know. I mean, Pittsburgh had some good teams in the 70s, and
yeah, yeah, they did. That was a good time.
Yeah, are you still a baseball fan?
Oh yeah, yeah. I watch the Braves now. You know.
Yeah.
When they come on, but not as much as, games just to me now that I'm older seem like they're just long,
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah. Well, you're a Georgia boy. So yeah, you like the Braves there. I'm a Midwest guy originally, so I'm a Cardinals fan.
Cardinals. I like the Cardinals.
Yeah. Well, and then you started wrestling there in Georgia. When I saw it was around 76. How did you get involved? And what was your training like?
Well, actually I knew the Fullers. Because I went to school with Robert Fuller, and we just played a lot, down at his farm in Locust Grove, Georgia.
Yeah.
And they had a ring set up in the barn. We'd go out there and wrestle and play and do all kind of crazy stuff. And just one day, Robert called me from Atlanta TV up at Ted Turner's and said, "Hey, they want you to come up here and wrestle on TV." And I said, "You think I can? Because I've been doing it with him for a long time and I've gotten pretty good at it." So I said, I don't know. But I made up my mind. I went up there and I'd done two or three tapes. I wrestled Moondog Maine was one of them. Dick Slater, I think, was one. And then I had a tag match with the Anderson Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
So I got kind of filled in real quick.
Yeah. And in those first few years, you wrestled, like you said, virtually everyone, right? You just mentioned a few there.
Right. Yeah. I had, I wrestled Bob Backlund,
yeah.
Dean Ho, Ricky Steamboat, Rick Martel, Randy Savage, Bob Orton Jr. and Bill White from, up in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Frank Monty, I think, was up in the Carolinas when I was there and I wrestled him a lot.
Yeah.
So I wrestled some good people.
Yeah. Which is, that's how you learned, right? You got in there with those guys and doing the reps. Doing the matches?
That's right. They say, you only get better wrestling people better than you are.
Yeah. And then you kind of started to get a break, but it was you wore a mask, right? You were lots of things, right?
Yeah, that was way on down the line though. I started wearing the mask when we went to Pensacola and then I went over to Bill Watts' territory as Jerry Stubbs and won my first title against the Assassin. The Louisiana belt, and from there I just kept going, and one day I was working out in the gym in Pensacola with Bob Armstrong, and Bob came, and he came over there and said, "Look, you're looking good, man." And he said, "You look like a Mr. Olympia." I said, "Well, that's not bad." He said, "I think you ought to go put your mask on and go with Mr. Olympia."
Yeah.
And I did that, and then went over to Bill Watts' territory again after I'd done got built up because Jerry Stubbs, he wasn't skinny, but he wasn't built up like Mr. Olympia guy.
Yeah.
And I put it on, went over there. Bill Watts wanted me to come over there and be a partner with JYD, Junkyard Dog.
Uh-huh.
And I did that. And from then, and I went back and, they wasn't hauling. Nobody knew who I was when I came back over there.
Yeah. So, and a lot of people may not realize, right? Miss Olympia used to be the big bodybuilding contest.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's kind of how that stemmed. But I read, were you an Atlanta police officer?
Yeah, well, not Atlanta. It was Clayton County, south of Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah. Did that have anything to do with you wearing a mask a little bit to hide your identity?
Well, it did at first. You know, at first I was doing some outlaw shows and TVs for them when I started going up there. And I started wearing a mask because I knew I was going to have to put some people over. And I didn't want to take all the ragging and all that. So, I mean, I went as a Raider. I went as a Matador.
Olympian.
All that stuff, you know, trying to stay hid a little bit. But they all knew. I just, you know, I didn't want to see me getting beat all the time. And then finally when I did take it off and wrestle up there with Jerry Stubbs and stuff, I did take some ragging. But I said, well, you know, they said, well, you got to get off your back. You know,
yeah.
I'm trying to get off my back.
Yeah. You know? Well, and so, you talked about in Mid-South teaming with Junkyard Dog, and you won the tag titles. And you won them from the Wild Samoans. So tell us, they've been back, kind of back in the news because they both passed away fairly recently. Right. What was it like working with Ofensiga?
Oh, it was a dream, you know. And we could have made tons of money if they would have just kept a straight head on them. But they thought Bill should pay them more money. You know, we worked the Superdome, and they didn't get as much money as they thought they was going to get.
Yeah.
And they just told Bill, hey, we're leaving. You know, and Bill tried to get them to stay, but they said you don't pay well enough. You know, so they did. They left, and so then we had to start working with other people. But boy, we could have made a ton of money.
Yeah.
You know, Roman Reigns and all that, all them kids.
Yeah.
That they had. I used to live in Pensacola, and we lived right on the beach.
Yep.
And I'd go out on the beach a lot of times and see all of them, the whole family. They'd be out there all together.
A ton of them.
All kids running around, you know. I knew them when they were babies. I knew the Rock too when he was a baby.
Yeah. That's where all the all those guys, that family lived and hung out, and that's where Ofensiga had their training school for a while and ran shows and later and everything else is that Pensacola area, that Gulf area.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No. I was just gonna ask you about you. Eventually, you turned heel on JYD. And,
yeah, I think everybody did, you know, at one time, if he had a partner or some, I think everybody at one time, you know, turned against him. And when I turned against him, it was a wild thing. I'm telling you, I had about 15 police officers trying to get me out of that auditorium there in New Orleans. And because they were going to kill me. I mean, them people were hot and them Cajun people, too, man.
Yeah.
take you down in one of their woods and swamp and feed you to the alligators. You
disappear.
You will never get out.
Well, a lot of people may not realize about JYD because they only know his later stuff where, man, that guy in New Orleans, I mean, he was it. He was super over. It's one of those things you can't grasp unless you saw it.
I mean, when they started playing his music, then people went nuts.
Yeah.
You know, every time he came out. And when we were partners, shoot, man, hey, we were doing good. I'd carry most of the load because he only done certain things. And he'd come in and do his thing and all that. And, hey, we got over like $1 million. And then when I turned on it, people, it was really at a time they didn't expect it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, no, everything's going good. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah.
And then Skandor Akbar was starting to Bill put him with me to manage me. And so we rock and roll, man. We had some good times, good people down there too.
Yeah. Did you have a preference on working heel or face? Because a lot of times, you know, when you have a mask gimmick, working heel is a little more fitting for that.
Yeah. Really, Mr. Olympia was a strictly baby face for most of the time.
Yeah.
Jerry Stubbs was the heel.
Yeah.
When I came out and all that, because they never knew what I was going to do, if I was going to be good, bad, or ugly, or what. And but they'd boo me too, man. I had some heat.
Yeah, and in 84, another person you teamed with was a very young Arn Anderson. He was wrestling at Super Olympia. Did you, at that time, I mean, he was pretty young, did you see a lot of potential in him? And maybe what he'd become?
Yeah, I did. And I really saw him over there with Bill Watts in that territory. He was over there with us.
Yeah.
And I called Ron Fuller and Bob Armstrong because they would do, you know, running the shows over there in Pensacola. And I said, I got a guy that, you know, y'all might want to look at and, you know, bring over in our territory. Because I was fixing to leave at that time, too, to come back over to Pensacola.
Yeah.
They said, okay. And they started, you know, checking around and whatever. And they brought him over there. And they brought him over there because I mentioned, I said, well, why don't you, I'm fixed to come over there and I'll be Mr. Olympia this time, not Jerry Stubbs.
Yeah.
Built up and stuff like that. And I said, why don't you put a mask on him and call him Super Olympia?
Yeah.
You know, and I said, we'll work a program. I said, I think me and him can have some good matches, and we had some great matches. And went over there, and it got over real good. And eventually I unmasked him, you know, and then eventually later on down the road, I unmasked. And then me and Arn was tag team. We was a heck of a tag team.
Yeah, and everybody talks about Arn, you know, you hear a lot of talk about Arn in that Panama hat. But when you guys teamed up, you wore the hat too. You wore the Panama hat.
Right. Yep. And we put that together and we become tag partners and we work good together.
Yeah.
And so we had some hellacious matches.
Yeah. Well, when you were in Mid-South, everybody talks about. So what did you think of those long Mid-South drives?
I don't know. I don't think they was as bad as what they had up in New York. And I had a chance to go to New York later on, but I just tired of them long trips.
Yeah,
we would go. And I tell you, when me and Junkyard were partners, we would go. He would call me sometime 2 o'clock in the morning. He didn't sleep well.
Yeah.
And he we had a gym down there in New Orleans, Foxy's Gym, and it stayed open all night. So he would call me at 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm sleeping, you know, good too. He said, "Hey," and he called me. "Oh, hey, oh, let's go work out." I said, "I'm asleep." He said, "Well, I can't sleep. I'll come pick you up. Get out of bed. Let's go." He come over and get me. We'd go to Foxy's Gym, work out about 2 hours, and then we'd go get some breakfast, go take a shower because we had a trip. You know, it could have been anywhere from 300 to 500 miles.
Yeah,
and so we went and got ready, and then time to leave to go to the show and all that. He said, "Hey, how about you driving? And I won't charge you no trans." I said, "Okay, I'll drive some." I said, "You drive." So he'd lay over there asleep, you know, snoring, and you know, about most of the trip. And then I ended up driving the whole thing. But Bill Watch gave him a Mercedes. Back in the day, Bill had a Mercedes. He bought him a new one, and he gave it to Dog. And Dog sold me his old Buick Electra. It was a nice car too, and he sold it to me at a good price. And but every time we'd go, man, I'm telling you, he'd want me to drive. and he'd sleep. It'd been different if he'd stay awake and talk to me.
Yeah,
so I'd turn the radio up high and go on down the road.
He knew what he was doing, wasn't he?
He couldn't
sleep at night. He was going to sleep on that trip.
right. He slept good in the car, I can tell you.
Yeah. And, well, when you were in Continental, right, you held the Continental title. And you traded back and forth some with Brad Armstrong, who a lot of people talk about one of the most underappreciated guys in wrestling. What did you think of Brad?
Brad was probably one of the best young wrestlers that had ever come across. And I say that, and a lot of people don't know, but I helped train Brad.
Okay.
Him and his brother, Scott Armstrong.
I
helped train him, and he was such a good worker, easy to work with, too.
Yeah.
He left us too soon.
Yeah. And everybody always talks about Brad, you know, had such a good personality and everything else, but then when you get in front of the camera, he's like, clammed up.
yeah. But yeah, he did, boy. He was something else. He was good now.
Yeah.
Now he's like, you know, we've lost his mama, his daddy.
Yep.
You know, it's a lot of us are leaving this old world.
That's right. Yeah. And another Armstrong, of course, you know, the patriarch, Bob, the Bullet. Yeah. You in '86, you lost a mass versus match to the Bullet, which had to be a hot contest. Tell us about that.
It was, we worked it up to the end so I could actually take off the mask or him take it off. Mm-hmm. And then the first time he took it off, I had one underneath. So and the people booed, they were mad and all that, you know, because I wasn't a heel too much with Mr. Olympia, mostly with Jerry Stubbs.
Yeah.
But when he took that, you know, I had to unmask because he beat me. So yeah. I took it off and I had one underneath it. So we had to do it again a week or so later, and where I was barred from having any extra underneath or whatever.
Right.
And he ended up taking it off of me. And that's when I kind of came out of the mask, and me and Arn Anderson went as partners.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the Avengers, a guy like Bob or whoever, when they were a face, they could throw that mask on it, you know, as the bullet or whatever, and people knew who it was, but they didn't care.
No, they didn't care. That was his gimmick, like, you know.
Yeah.
That bullet Bob had that mouth, you know, kind of out.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who he was, and so on and so on. And we had some good ones, though. We had some good tag matches with him and Brad.
Yeah.
You know, shoot, we had a good territory down there.
Yeah, it was. And you also, you wrestled a lot also for All Japan. How'd you like working in Japan?
Oh, I liked it. Every time I went, I'd go for about 4 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks. And I probably went over there probably five years in a row. And I worked, at one time I went over there as Jerry Stubbs to start with.
Uh-huh.
Then I went back years later as Mr. Olympia, and they didn't know who it was.
Yeah.
And also back then, I was wrestling Inoki and all those guys, but I teamed up with Tiger Jet Singh.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
I can't, the last two times I went over there as Ashik.
Right.
Yeah, and wrestled with him as his partner every time I went over there. Made some good money at that time, and he just kind of got over his Ashik, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it was fun. It's different now. It's different.
Yeah.
Over there, they got 9 million dang taxi cabs. And they go down the road. If you get in a taxi and you got to go somewhere, whatever, them drivers are blowing the horn, beep, 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 all over. So
yeah.
We had, I think it was Terry Funk. Terry Funk was with us. And he was in the back seat. One of us was riding in the front, and I forgot who else was with us. But he slapped that cab driver in the back of the head, and he said, "You blow that damn horn one more time, I'm gonna throw you out of this cab."
So, I bet he listened
no
to Terry. Yeah, I bet he listened
more.
To Terry, didn't he?
Yeah, he didn't blow it no more.
Terry was next to God over there, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, him and Dory both.
Yeah, that's right.
And the Road Warriors, they were big.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had good times. I was over there with the Road Warriors and the Funks at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah, those guys. That's a riot. I'm telling you, that's a riot.
Yeah, those guys could always go back and do a tour and make some money.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and they paid good. When you left, they paid you with brand new $100 bills.
Yeah. Well, another guy you toured Japan with and became friends with was Kurt Hennig.
Oh, Kurt. Okay, yeah, Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, tell us that tell us that story about the Mr. Perfect gimmick that because that you came up with it.
Yeah, I was talking about it, and when I was over there, and Kurt was listening and all that, and he said, "Yeah, I'm trying to find me a gimmick to take back to New York when I go. I got to change myself around and this, that, and the other." And I said, "Well, shoot," I said, and I was talking to him about the gimmick of going under there, and he said, "Mr. Perfect," he said, "I don't want to wear no mask." I said, "You don't have to wear no mask.
Yeah.
Just act the part, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Act like you got money. Act like you got everything, you know. You're just perfect for everything.
Yeah.
You know, and he did. He took it back and ran with it and did pretty good.
Yeah.
And he left
I mean,
too early, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. No offense, Jerry, but that gimmick did. It was tailor-made for Kurt Hennig. It worked with him.
It did. Sure did. It sure did. I used it a little bit down there in the South, but
yeah,
it worked with him. Finally, when he started using it, I quit saying, even talking about it, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
but
Kurt,
yeah, he got over with it too. Sure did.
Kurt was so smooth. He
yeah,
was
no, a lot of people don't know it, but me and Ted DiBiase were partners over there in Mid-South with
yeah.
Watson there. And the thing of that, I gave him, I talked to him about his gimmick, Million Dollar Man.
Yeah?
Yeah, one day he was spending a whole lot of money. And I said, man, you're spending money like you got millions. He said, I don't. I said, but you're spending it like it. I said, you ought to do something there, man. Call yourself a millionaire or something. You know, you got to talking. And then he did. He changed it to Million Dollar Man.
Yeah. And
I told him, I said, now you can't use it unless you dress up for the part. You got to do that. Let them know, make them think you got money anyway.
That's right. That's right. You know. I also heard there in Mid-South that you came up with the Rat Pack name for the group of them.
Yep, I did the Rat Pack thing for them too. I should have, you know, I always wanted to kind of help with the book and all that. Didn't want to be the booker, period.
Yeah.
Just help. And Ron and Bob and those guys down there always listened to what I had to say, you know. And when I was a junior, United States junior champion, I called most of my finishes, you know.
Yeah.
And things. So they kind of gave me a run and able to do what I did, you know.
Yeah.
Not many people was able to, you know, just speak up and do what they wanted to do, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they took care of me. They did good, you know, by me. And I moved down that way at that time, stayed down there a while.
Yeah. Yeah. The Rat Pack, it was, I always thought that was kind of an ingenious thing too, right? Because obviously, you know, the Rat Pack, Frank Sinatra, Sammy Davis Jr., all those, right. The cream of the crop, the elite of these guys. And using it over in wrestling with the same kind of concept, I always thought that was pretty ingenious.
Right. And seeing, I got a lot of my stuff off TVs and things, you know, watching this and that and putting little spots in there and little things in there, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what you got to do. You got to entertain the people and you got to have something. You can't just be plain.
Yeah. Or they forget you.
Plain people, you know, they're on the first match most of the time. And you got to find something to, you know, to be flamboyant or something.
That's right. That's right. And like we mentioned, right, you've had a lot of successful tag teams, a lot of different partners. We talked, you know, Junkyard Dog. We talked about Ted DiBiase. We talked about Arn Anderson. But you teamed with, you know, Tony Anthony, Brad Ringens, Paul Diamond, lots of other guys.
Right.
Did you have a favorite partner to work with that you thought you gelled with the best?
Well, probably the best two. I got two of them. Probably would be Tony Anthony, the Dirty White Boy, and Arn Anderson.
Okay.
Me and Ted had some good ones. Over in Oklahoma, we had some good. We had a big fight in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and all the security guards left us in the ring, and people trying to get in there, and we knocking them out. And we had to get all the wrestlers from the back to come help us get back to the dressing room. One of them bit Ted's finger almost off. We had to go to the hospital that night to get that fixed. But it got rough sometimes. We were wrestling Tiger Conway Jr. and Mr. Wrestling too.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think of all those names, I don't know that a lot of people would have probably guessed that you would have thrown out Tony Anthony as one of them. So tell us about teaming with Tony.
Oh, Tony Anthony was something else. He had his own thing, but he had a little valet. Kim was his valet.
Yeah.
And so on. And then when we started teaming, we used her as a valet for us, you know, and it went over good. But Tony is a good worker too. He sort of works like Brad Armstrong did, and easy to work with and easy to team with. You know, we all shared it half and half and done what we needed to do and got over and so on. So, and the same thing with Arn, me and Arn. But I guess if I had to put one of the two, I'd have to put Arn first.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to, right? I mean, that guy.
Yeah, he learned to talk, you know, he could talk and work, and didn't mind working.
And Arn, I mean, he made you believe, right? I mean, everything he said, even if you knew, if you thought something was up with other guys, Arn was one of those guys, you're like, I kind of believe what he says, though.
Yeah, right.
And so tell us, I heard a story that there was once a plan for you to go to New York in the WWF. Is that true?
I was supposed to go, and then I had a blood clot in my leg.
Right. So Arn
went, and I couldn't go. I had a blood clot in my leg, and Flair was going to help bring us up to New York, and we were going to be I was going to be a top mask man, only one that would have been up there at that time, and Arn was going to do his thing.
Yeah.
wasn't going as partners. We were going separate. But at that time, I would have been only masked man in the territory. And then they got Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
So that's how that worked, and that's why I didn't go. And I had a chance to go back later, but it was too late. Didn't want to go.
Yeah,
and I didn't really want to travel those miles.
Sure, right, yeah.
I done got my share over Bill Watts' territory because he had some long ones too.
Yeah, yeah, and obviously right now, dude, all over the country working, you know, every night pretty much, sometimes twice. Did the blood clot, did that lead to your retirement from wrestling?
It slowed it down a lot, but it hindered it. It really hindered it, but it slowed it down. But I kept working after I got back and all that. Everything was pretty good, you know.
Yeah. So what ended up being where you finally thought, well, it's time to hang it up and get out of this thing?
Well, the people, Ron Fuller and them, you know, they were closing shop. A lot of territories were closing up.
Yeah.
And I said, it's time to go, you know.
Yeah.
So I moved back to Georgia and went to work at my old police department, Forest Park Police Department.
Yeah.
I got a job. I came back and talked to the director, and he said, matter of fact, they're over there at the fire station taking applications now and interviewing. I'm going to call them and send you over there right now. So he called them, and I went over there and talked to them and all that, and they called me and said, hey, man, you're hired. Need to go get you some uniforms.
You
know?
Yeah.
So, and that's why I went back. You know, I went back. It was easy. You know, I had that profession behind me.
Yeah.
And went back and never screwed up, I guess. So they took me back easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that killed a lot of people's careers, though, was that just wrestling was changing, right? It was nationalizing. Things were drying up.
Right.
And a lot of good talent couldn't find, there was no place to work anymore. Right.
Right. Wasn't any. Then I actually left there, though, when they closed up and worked for WOW Wrestling over in Pensacola. WWO, I think it was called.
Yeah.
And they didn't stay in too long. They gave me the Junior United States Heavyweight Championship, which was a nice belt. As a matter of fact, I got it over here in my collection.
Ah, yeah.
So, I mean, they folded up and went out of business, and that's when I said it's time to go home.
Yeah. Did you ever work any with the Wild Samoans and stuff there in Pensacola when they were running some shows and different things or at their school or anything?
Never worked with them over there in Pensacola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. All right. Well, tell us something, man. Talked about your career, talked, you know, fact that you're a police officer. What? Tell us something, though, that maybe most people don't know about Jerry Stubbs.
Let me think. Pretty much they know everything about me.
Yeah, you got it. I mean, any hidden talents, any hidden interests or anything that people may not think of Mr. Olympia might have?
Let me think a second. I've had some things pretty much. I tell you what, I played softball. I could hit a softball 450 feet.
Yeah.
I started playing softball with the police department, and then these teams were trying to pick me up every weekend to go play in a tournament. And I would play. We'd play sometime 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. These tournaments would be the mobile with Saturday night instead of having to come back Sunday and finish.
Yeah.
And but yeah, man, it wasn't nothing. You know, every time I stepped up to the plate, it was gone.
Yeah, a lot of people that aren't aware, but softball's a super serious thing for some of these guys, right? There's some diehard teams.
And they believe in hitting them home runs too.
That's right.
You don't hit a home run.
That's right.
Everywhere, and they'd pick me up. Some of these teams would pick me up to go play, like, you know, out of town.
Yeah,
pay the whole thing, man. One car dealership sponsored us, and they'd give us a car to drive to wherever we were going. And so it was fun, man. That was probably one of my talents. I played baseball, you know, professional baseball. But then when it was all over, we were playing softball on weekends and tournaments and all that. And I liked that, too. It was slow pitch. It wasn't fast pitch. It was slow pitch.
Sure.
But like I said, I could hit it 400-something feet.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody obviously knows, right? You know, Jerry Lawler loves softball, always loves softball. Sid Vicious always loves softball, but
Jerry Stubbs. Yeah, me and Sid Vicious had a home run derby down in, where were we? We were down some Louisiana somewhere. We went somewhere and played a softball exhibition, you know.
Yeah.
And all that. And it was me and Sid Vicious, and Sid could hit that ball too.
Well, yeah.
And I kept telling him, man, I can hit it further than you can. I said, you can't hit it no further than me. And he said, shoot, man, I'll bust that softball. I said, okay, let's go bust it. And the first one I hit must have been closer to 500 feet.
Yeah.
And he said, you wasn't lying, was you? I said, I could hit it 400.
Who won the derby? You?
I did.
Yeah.
I won by four balls, four home runs. Yep, yeah. I won't forget it either because I rubbed it in his face.
Yeah. 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 Well, a lot of people, yeah, you know, baseball, softball, whatever. It's not all about the power. There's mechanics, right? There's a in that swing, right? Your hips and using the body and.
Oh yeah, it's all
not always
that.
Not always the strongest guy is the guy. It's you got to, you know. There's more to it.
Yeah, it's technique.
That's technique. Right.
Get that
right.
Pitch you want to hit, and boom, there it goes.
Yeah.
And I won several when I was playing too. I won several home run trophies.
Yeah.
You know, that they give a home run, one that hits the most home runs in the tournament or something. I won a bunch of those.
Yeah, when I always played ball as a kid, and, you know, in high school and everything else, there's a, you know, I know it's not, you know, the blanket statement, but I always get, coaches always told me your power's in your hips. And,
it is. You got to turn those hips.
That's right. Yeah. Know. So, and they're not wrong. And So when you look back at your wrestling career, right? You know, and the good and the bad and it was wild because you kind of got that almost that clean break, right? You know, ending it, go right back into police work. You know, kind of worked out for you.
It did.
Do you ever see anything that you would have done differently?
Nah, I like both of them, but you know, at one time or another, I think I said that, you know, I should have stayed with the police department. I'd have been chief, you know, in the county and all that. But no, I look back and I don't think I'd change nothing.
Yeah. We talked about there a lot of guys no longer with us, but is there anybody from the business that you're still in contact with?
Randy Rose. Do you remember Randy Rose?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Randy Rose. I see him. He lives in, Daytona. And I go down every once in a while. My aunt's got a place down there and she lets us go. And I see him every time I go. And matter of fact, I talked to him the day before yesterday. He's got a book deal or something that he's fixing to do.
Oh, yeah.
And hold on one second.
Okay.
Where did he come from?
In the blue room at the bottom of the floor.
Okay. All right. Well, get rid of him. My wife was showing me a yellow jacket. I said, well, how did he get here? She said he was in one of the bedrooms. So that just goes, hey, there's a crack somewhere.
That's right. Had to get in somehow, didn't he?
Yeah, hey, that's right. You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
no, I don't think I would change anything. You know.
Yeah.
I liked it, and I worked hard to get in it. And then when I got in it, I really moved on up the ladder. And, got to be main event and all that. When you get to be those spots there, you feel you've done something good, you know.
That's right. Yep.
Because not everybody can climb to the top.
Yeah, that's right. Do you ever get out there and do any appearances, any conventions, any signings, anything like that? Or
yeah, I got to go to Charlotte July, the end of July, the 1st of August.
Yeah.
They have
yep.
The New Beginning or something. They have it every year.
Yeah.
And I just got back. This weekend, Monday, I just got back this past Monday from Dothan, Alabama. The NWA, the new NWA's got something started down there.
Yeah.
And I went down and done some signing for a guy, and Austin Idol and Tom Pritchard was there.
Yep, yep.
There was somebody else there. I'll think of it in a minute. When you get old, you can't remember all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Barry Windham was there.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
he was sitting there next to me and at my table.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, then, you know, like you say, still, you know, do some conventions, do some. Do you have a way that people can follow you on social media or anything else to keep up with your appearances, or do you not do a lot of that?
No. I've just now started back doing it all because, I worked with the Sheriff's Department until about 3 months ago.
Okay.
And I retired, so I'm not doing anything. So I took up that one in Charlotte because I knew I was going to be retired.
Sure.
Just later on.
Yeah.
And then the guy called me and he was wanting me to come to Dothan and do some signing, so I went down there. But yeah, I think I'm going to do a little more than I have in the past because I've always been busy,
Yeah,
I couldn't make the time to go to a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're real good. You get to see a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
Girls and men. You know, you get to see them all. You ain't seen them in so long. You see them on Facebook or something like that, but you don't get to talk to them or nothing, you know. You just see Jake the Snake and a lot of those old ones, the Superstar.
Yep.
He's usually there.
Yeah.
But most of your big names go, you know.
Yeah.
I think Arn's going to be at this one, too, in August.
Yeah.
Up there in
Charlotte.
He's going to be there. And I think his son is going to be wrestling Morton's son.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to be working against each other, and Morton and Arn's will be their managers, per se. You know?
Yeah.
So that should be pretty good. You know?
Yeah, that'll be fun. Yeah.
But I'm due to go up there and sign autographs for the company, whoever's running the thing. I went up there 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Same thing, in the same place. But I wasn't, I was with a vendor. I wasn't with the main course where you have to pay to go in, ask them questions and talk to them. And they talk back and all kind of stuff. A lot of people pay for that, you know.
Yeah.
It's
a good time for that because a lot of people are a little, the older fans are a little disenchanted maybe with the current wrestling and like to remember their wrestling in the past.
Right.
So there's a lot of these conventions and appearances and stuff out there and people love it. They like to, so it's a good chance, like you said, to see, some of the boys, but also see the fans and hear their stories and when they saw you. So it's a lot of
time, boy, they got a lot of money in their hand.
That's right.
They want to get a picture taken with you. They want to buy some pictures and buy some gimmick. And two, that a lot of them ask you, hey, can you get me? I want to buy one of them nice belts. Can you get it? My belts cost a chunk because I get mine overseas. They're made just like the originals.
Yeah,
and they're heavy too. And so on. So I said my belts are a little high. He said, "High." I said, "Well," I said, "I get them for $500. They usually sell for $750."
Yeah.
And they used to sell for $1,200 or more.
Yep. That's right.
But now everybody's trying to get them, and they're making them cheaper. WWF, they're making them cheap, But they sell they'll sell them for $250.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Well,
it's nice. It's I love it that guys like you can get out there and know that your careers are appreciated and that people remember you. I think it's important. It's important that you remember that, and it doesn't hurt that you can go out and make a few bucks.
Right.
Some
of the ones when you go sign, some of the people that you knew back then that were younger are older now, and they're bringing their kids.
That's right. That's right.
So, now they generate. Because they'll tell you, this is my son. I was telling him how it was when we used to go all the time. So
that's right.
Bringing him tonight to see something, this, that, and the other, and then they want to take a picture with you.
That's right.
So it's fun and it's entertainable, but I always like to dog the fans sometimes. They tell me, you don't know what you're going to do. What are you going to do tonight? You going to be bad or good? I said, I don't know yet. I ain't made up my mind. And then I'll be bad and I'll go out after the matches, after we're leaving and all. They'll all be out there in the parking lot around going to talk to me. I said, you boo me in there. She said, well, you're bad in there.
when you do this.
I had a bunch of old people, ladies, they sit on the front row. One of them had an air tank. one of them had an air tank, and she kept hollering at me because I was beating up Bob Armstrong, the Bullet.
She kept
hollering at me, and I finally grabbed the mic, because I had Bob beat down, but I grabbed the mic and I said, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to come out there and turn off that air tank. You know, and the whole crowd goes crazy, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing of it is that when you got out of the ring, you had to go to the dressing room. I had to walk right by her.
Sure, absolutely.
And she was on cuss, and she would, I said, get out of that chair and say that. She's in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know, so I dogged them and all, but she'd be out there by my car and talk to me when I left.
That's right. When you do these appearances now and stuff, do you ever don the mask and let people get their picture taken with Mr. Olympia?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The time. You know,
that's,
if
good.
Wanna,
that's good.
If I go do some of these signings and all, I usually do it with Jerry Stubbs, but I always have my mask in case they said, can I get one with the mask? And I'll just put it on and take it with me.
I know Bill Eady does a lot of that, right? He does, you know, he'll do the demolition thing too, but sometimes he, you know, he's always got that mass superstar thing too, where you can you get that too if you want. So,
And that gives you a couple things, you know, people buy a couple things. They want you and they also want that mask.
That's right.
Picture, you know. So,
that's
all fun and games, you know.
You get
hurt a lot, you know, your body stays sore a lot, you know.
Depends on
the hard ring you get in.
That's right.
Some of them don't bounce a bit.
That's right.
They don't go bang, bang, bang. They go thump.
Yeah, that's right. Well, Jerry, I appreciate you giving me time and talking to me. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And maybe down the road sometime we'll revisit and tell a few more stories and do it again.
Let me know. Just let me know.
All right.
Anytime. Just let me know. We'll get together and something.
Sounds good.
You know, so, but I enjoy it. I enjoy talking. Sometimes I don't just shut up, you know.
No, that's what we want. We want to hear those stories.
But I enjoyed it, man. I really appreciate
it.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Hey, guys. Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to the Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met. From Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guides for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. So if you're looking to support that next up and coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
Hey, it's Bob Smith, and guess what? The outdated Wrestling Hour is now part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. But hey, no fear, you're still going to hear the unique guests, comedy, music, authors, journalists, funny people. Who knows who's going to end up on the outdated Wrestling Hour? Remember, it's all new and all old. So check it out in the WrestleCopia Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts. Listen if you know what's good for you.
Hey everybody, Gene Jackson here, inviting you to check out the Retro Wrestling Review, where each week I'm joined by some great co-hosts who help me review classic episodes of USWA Championship Wrestling, and right now we are doing week-by-week reviews of 1993. But we don't just do reviews, sometimes we get a chance to interview some of the people who were there and lived it, plus do watch-alongs. It's a lot of fun, so check out new episodes that drop every Wednesday at WrestleCopia.com. And to find links to everything associated to the podcast, you can go to USWAPodcast.com.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right. Thank you to Jerry for coming on, talking to me. A lot of fun. And I will be talking to Jerry probably more in the future. That was a good conversation. And I look forward to our next one. Guys, go follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much all the platforms. Just look for Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or The Dave Dynasty, and you'll find me there and give me a follow. Also, go check out the WrestleCopia Network of Podcasts. You can find them on any podcast platform by looking up the specific shows, or go to WrestleCopia.com for your central hub for all of the network. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net to sign up, and then download the app on all of your smart devices. All right, next episode, my guest should be Sergeant Buddy Lee Parker. We're finally going to get it in the books, I hope, and I will be talking to him. If not, there'll be somebody else, but I'm hoping it's old Buddy. We'll talk about the State Patrol, the power plant, and much more, so stay tuned for that. But until that episode, guys, thank you for joining me. Thank you for following me on social media. Thank you for subscribing and rating and reviewing, because you did that, right? You gave me a rating and review, I hope so. Please do so. And until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia's copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.